Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live back at WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me again in studio, Ross Kimborowski, founder of Crowdspring. Welcome to the show, Ross.
Thanks so much, Scott. Happy to be here with your listeners.
Yes. So right off the bat, why don't we start and get the business part out of the way. What is Crowdspring?
Crowdspring helps entrepreneurs, small businesses, marketers, and agencies with logo design, web design, print design, and naming companies and products. We've been in business for 9 years, have a community of 210,000 designers and namers all over the world, and we work with companies from over 100 different countries.
So if I recall correctly, last time we were sitting in this exact same spot, I believe, I had talked a little bit about the fact that I had started my first company using 99 Designs, and I liked the idea that I could sort of crowdsource some of the creative stuff that maybe I didn't know how to do. In some regards, it was ideas. Some regards, it can be the actual logo designs themselves. And so I was very familiar with the concept, if you will, of crowdsourcing these kind of assets. You have built an incredible platform that very much differentiates itself, particularly lending its usefulness to the startup community because of the ability to get logos and things not only on demand, but really, really quickly.
Well, that's one of the big advantages. So if you think about how you typically hire, you might look at some resumes, you'll hire people, they'll give you one or two logo examples, you'll like them or not like them. On Crowdspring, rather than looking at portfolios or bids and proposals, you set your budget and post what you want, and in as few as 2 days, 3 days, you can have actual logo designs. So it's your logo, it's your website, people are giving you sample designs, and you pick the one you like. It's like buying a television in the store.
So another part of this that is kind of unique, and we were talking about this amongst ourselves. My producer, Sean, who's sitting here right now, I'll mic him in, but we were talking about this in studio, in our studio at home at TechNexus, about the fact that the economy has changed so much so that we were talking about ourselves, actually, like what our jobs when we become 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years old, what it's going to look like. And I had mentioned to the guys that not only we were talking under the context of investing, but not only will the investment structure and how we try to invest all of our money, but also how our paychecks come. We're going to have a full-time job or maybe two part-time jobs, but almost all of us who have some sort of skill set are trying to make money as part of the gig economy. And it's sort of funny to me how the gig economy, when it first came up, I don't know how to describe it. It was like just a house full of freelancers, and they freelanced all day long, and that's all they did. They didn't have side jobs and other things. And now we're starting to see people like Sean, who not only does he produce our show, he hosts his own show, The Feed, but he also does production for all kinds of companies around Chicago and startups at TechNexus doing, you know, video production, et cetera. And so I look at like that economy and see how you could use a tool like this to combat poorness.
Well, I mean, I have an empathy for it because I have to balance multiple jobs. I have to do podcasts. I have to make videos. I have to write stories for magazines. And you have to be a jack of all trades. And it's in the media landscape. There's so many different types of media. So I know what it's like. So it just like with the state of the landscape, the gig economy, it makes total sense that a business like this would exist. And so I wonder like what inspired the creation of this company.
So like many ideas, I was an attorney.
Great
among
start.
Other things, I was leading the redesign of my firm's website. This was back in 2006. And I did what every small business, mid-sized business would do. We looked at the best design firms in Chicago. We talked to seven of them. We put this big request for proposal, interviewed them, picked the one we like, and then waited. And when they came back with the website designs, I didn't like them. And I was very frustrated because we paid them a lot of money and I just didn't like the work. And so I went back in frustration thinking there has to be a better way to buy creative services. The fact that we have to take a leap of faith when we hire a designer is so different from the way lots of other service-oriented businesses work. And so I came up with this model where, you know, what motivated me ultimately was there were students out in Asia for fun designing product ads. And when I saw the quality of the ads, I saw they were as good as anything that was being done in the best publications that were out at the time. And so I thought, why couldn't we do this for small businesses and startups? Why couldn't we have effectively competitions to get you those designs at a fraction of the cost? And the cost difference is staggering. So if you look at a logo project on CrowdSpring, it starts at $299 versus tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars if you go to a small agency. And at the end of the day, whether or not the result is different, the truth is that most businesses can't afford to spend tens of thousands of dollars on their initial branding.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you're going to find it funny. I find it funny. When we look at the branding and the marketing and a lot of consultancies in general in the agency world, I'm starting to see a shift where, and I know that we're a little bit biased because we're in the tech community, so we're looking at a lot of startups that are funded, but even in the greatest realm of funding, they still don't have a ton of cash flow. And so I look at a lot of the agencies and I just think, I don't think that the economy of the future is built for the way that their business models live. I don't think that most companies, small businesses, can now or in the future, nor should they, spend all their money on a branding agency or somebody who's going to be dedicated to sit there and spend all day long working on these projects for them and building them, you know, an insane amount of hours. Not to say that certain agencies are not spectacular. They certainly are. But I feel like that is something where if you're a big company, you have certain needs that have to be met that agencies are great for. In other words, timing, making sure that there's a quality control level, making sure that there's, you know, direct reports, and there's just different tracking mechanisms that a large or small agency is sort of built to handle. I find that a lot of the newer companies that are going and growing in Chicago really are built in a model that need this sort of flexibility. What do you see with that?
They do. I mean, agencies are in a lot of pain because traditionally they've created organizations that look like Wall Street. So they had a lot of management layers. They had a lot of account people. But what they didn't have is a lot of ideas beyond those they initially proposed. And what we're finding over the last decade is where we really make a big impact is in that ideation phase. We've worked with some of the world's best agencies, and the reason they come to us—
I was just going to say, the agencies themselves are using you as a source.
They're great at strategy. They're phenomenal at strategy, but what they need is ideas. And so they can get ideas very inexpensively from a community of global freelancers on CrowdSpring that they cannot get internally. So if you name a big agency in the world, we probably work with them. And one of the reasons they started coming to us is because their clients started coming to us directly when the agencies were initially skeptical. So agencies are going to have to evolve into a different model because, frankly, there's just not enough client money to support the level of service they've historically provided. And at the end of the day, it's about ideas. That's one of the things that we think we've democratized is you can be living in North Dakota or in a small town in Africa, and if your logo design, your web design, the name you come up with is the best and the client picks it, it doesn't matter where you went to school. It doesn't matter what software you're using. It doesn't matter whether you have electricity 24 hours a day or six times a day. And there are examples of people working on our site who don't have electricity 24 hours a day, who will pop in for 3 hours, do the work. They're phenomenal designers, but they don't have opportunities to meet clients. And then you have clients, like many of the companies in Chicago and all over the world, frankly, who are not looking to spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're looking to spend a more affordable budget on good quality design, who would love to meet these people, but otherwise have no way to find them.
So there's two things I kind of want to talk about with you before we close our show. And the one is kind of piggybacking on what you're saying, which is the same observation that I made. And it's not just in the branding, it's on the podcast and every other creative world that we're in. I can tell you strategically, like based on what I'm hearing from you, if I wanted to reach this market, these are the things that I think would be symptomatic of something that would do that. Here are some things that I think you need to do in line to get this, blah, 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 blah. When it comes down to me filling that podcast, me filling that branding, me getting a couple of logos for you to look at and me to like kind of weigh against whatever strategy I laid out for you, I have to go at this point, I feel like I have to go and use things like CrowdSpring in order to actually field as many ideas and things I can. I feel like a few years ago, consulting firms, agencies in general would have been frowned upon for doing that. And now I feel like because of the success of companies like yours, I feel like it is maybe now almost seen as like, if you're not doing that, you're not doing your due diligence.
Well, part of it is just the sheer economics. I'll give you a good example. We recently at CrowdSpring partnered with AliExpress and Alibaba. They had a problem. They have a lot of suppliers who are trying to develop products for sale in the U.S. and China and Russia, who are trying to get branding, who are trying to get different designs. But there's not enough ideation within their circles, not enough fast ideation. So we partnered with them, and we did a series of projects where from start to finish, from the time they posted their projects to products being available for sale on AliExpress, it was less than 30 days. That's remarkable innovation.
Yeah.
That's custom products in under 30 days offered for sale. So businesses, consulting companies, agencies do not have a choice. Number one, there's economic pressure on them. Number two, there's the reality that they still lack the broad ideation that wins them clients. So they may have a 7,000 people in an agency and lots of different ideas, but these are ideas that have been tested over time. And so one of their challenges, how do we break out of that and get ideas from a much broader population? So as big as an agency is, we have 210,000 people all over the world who are coming from different cultures, different languages, different levels of experiences, and they're just better at coming up with a wider range of ideas. They may not always win the day, but to an agency, to a company that's looking for something creative and unique, there's no other place to find that type of a global audience.
Oh, for sure. And what a great place to put together, talk about a small group where you can actually test and get feedback. I mean, you literally have this whole world. You can get people's opinions all over the world as to whether you think this is something that your end user is going to actually like.
And we make it actually very easy. So I'll give you an example. So every project has focus groups. So you can launch a focus group and test your designs. AliExpress did that with their project. So we had focus groups running on CrowdSpring, and then they ran them on AliExpress, and they had tens of thousands of people coming in and voting on these products before the products are made for sale. So here's a very smart company. They got original designs. They had people, prospective customers, tell them before they invested money in making these designs, here are our favorite designs, and then they went and made them and sold them. That's a phenomenal way to get product design done. That's much less expensive, and you sort of built in an audience. It's one of the reasons why some of the services that have been active in the U.S., you know, Kickstarter is a great example of that. People need to raise funding. Oftentimes, that's part of the marketing plan, is to get a lot of viral interest in the products.
Very cool. I want to, you know, the one other part that I kind of want to talk about, and I don't know if we're going to have time for it on this episode, but we'll have to have you come back, is building this company. So, you know, I think that it's easy for us sometimes to think of, you know, just scale it. That's what you hear in startup world all day long. Everyone we talk to is just, yo, you know, it's great, but I don't know if that company has scalability and it turns into this big thing. The reality is your company is literally scale. Like, to scale your company is a scale. Like, you have to literally get people from all over the world on their own to be part of your platform. How did you go from an attorney with a problem to launching this company and getting your sort of corporate tentacles, if you will, all over the world, where people knew, I'm going to go to CrowdSpring to submit. And then eventually, I mean, I kind of understand roughly like how you would get clients. But what I don't get is, how did you reach out and grow such a talent pool?
So part of it is driven by just the realization that a lot of freelancers who are working on CrowdSpring today were left out of the marketplace. They may have been successful people at agencies but underpaid or underworked or overworked. They may have been people that couldn't work at agencies or couldn't get jobs and as designers. And so we focused on making sure that we offered a level platform for them to compete. If the only thing that mattered is their talent, then they were willing to invest the time to show that they were good at this. We took care of the legal contracts. Every project comes with a legal contract. We took care of payment. We pay people anywhere in the world. We took care of escrow. We took care of file transfer. These are all problems with large files that clients and freelancers run into. So the only thing the client has to focus on is just getting the best work, and the designers, the namers, they just have to focus on delivering the best work. And when you create a level playing field for people who are eager to compete based on their talent, they're willing to do the work. So we've been very honest with our community. We have the most stringent intellectual property policies. Part of it is I was an IP attorney, so that background
That's
helps
helpful.
Us. But we had the most stringent IP policies in the industry because we wanted to protect the work that these people created. And as a result, the community trusts us, and we have a lot of people interested in working with us. And it's not just people who are part-time designers. Some of the largest agencies, we have people moonlighting who are creative directors at some of the best agencies, moonlighting as designers on CrowdSpring. Why? It's not because they're lacking money. They're doing it for competition. It's the same reason why people compete in the Olympics. They want to prove that they're better than other people, and they want to continue to perfect their art.
Very cool. This has been awesome. Where do people go to jump on this sweet platform?
CrowdSpring.com, CROWDSPRING.
You know what? Most founders actually have a hard time spelling their own thing when it goes to online. It's Technori, TechNori.com. You'd be surprised. Nice job.
Thank you.
Very cool. Do people also, are you on social media as well, I assume?
We are. We're on Twitter, CrowdSpring.
I'm just testing you now.
Yeah, Twitter, at CrowdSpring, Facebook, CrowdSpring as well. So we're pretty active there, talking to small businesses, entrepreneurs, and of course, designers.
Sweet. Ross, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Absolutely. You can catch this episode more at technori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and of course, stay connected by following us on Twitter and Facebook at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.